to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord began to lay this on my heart, and I didn't get it all at one time. He just kept giving me bits and pieces as time rolled on, and this morning, right before church, he gave me the finale. Amen. I don't know. That's just the way it works for me. Sometimes I get them all at once. Sometimes I just get them a scripture at a time, and then just start putting them together. And then it, by God's grace, it hopefully becomes a message. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 3 this morning, and also Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. We were talking, the chambers talking, different ones been talking about our mentors, the ones that were there for us, the ones that influenced our lives and impacted our lives and kept us pointing in the right direction. And I can relate to that through the course of my years and my ministry, my pastor, our training there at Victory Temple. And then as I began to evangelize, the multitude of ministers that I began to encounter, and just, wow, you know, it's kind of like, and this is something that was shared with me, it's kind of like C.M. Ward, and this was shared by Brother Clendon, and one time he was traveling with C.M. Ward, a leader in the Assembly of God movement years ago, and he always had such insight into all kinds of different truths of God's Word. And Brother Clendenning asked him one time, he says, "How in the world do you have so much insight?" C.M. Ward was, they were driving down the highway, and C.M. Ward pointed out the window to a little playground over there, and he said, "See that little boy over there playing on that swing?" He said, "That little boy knows something I don't know. And so I'll listen to him to find out what he knows, so then I can know it too." Yeah. Ooh. That's how you get insight. You listen. You pay attention. Praise God. I don't have to talk. And sometimes it's a detriment because I need to talk sometimes, but I don't have to talk. I can just sit and listen. A lot of times people think, you know, I'm not sociable. I can be sociable, but sometimes I like to listen. I want to hear what everybody else got to say, you know, and they don't have to know what I know. They don't have to hear what I have to say, as long as I can hear what they're saying. And then it will help me in my life, so maybe I can help somebody else along the way. In John chapter number 3, verse number 30, it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we praise your mighty name. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the tremendous messages, Lord, you have sent to us in this rally. And God, I pray that you would continue to work the works that you have begun, Lord God, from the beginning, Lord, to this very point. And God, I pray, let your Spirit, Lord, just anoint my mind, anoint my lips. Help me to share, Lord God, what you've poured into my heart and into my soul, Lord God, for this message. God of heaven, I just want to see your name lifted up. I want to see our hearts and our souls refreshed, renewed, revived, and empowered, Lord God, filled with your power, filled with your love, and a sound mind, oh God. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way with me. Have your way in this service. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross, in his name. Amen and amen. You can be seated again this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to keep you long. Can't tell you that. That's not my pattern. That's not my track record. But I will tell you this morning that the Lord is going to help us. And the Lord is going to talk to us. And the Lord is going to encourage us for the race that he's placed us in. We are running the race. Amen. Brother Chambers, you're running the race in Charlotte, North Carolina. Brother Branch, your family, running the race, Raleigh, North Carolina. The rest of us are from here, Bartlesville, that's close enough. Praise the Lord. We're running the race in Oklahoma. Praise God. We're running the race that is set before us. I'm not running your race, Brother Chambers. I'm not running your race, Brother Branch. I'm not running your race, Brother Gans. I'm running the race that he has set before me. Hallelujah. And these meetings like this are to encourage us to run our race. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to preach this morning on maintaining reduction. He must increase, and I must decrease. These are words of John the Baptist. These are the words that he began to speak to his disciples. John the Baptist, I want to give us a little review on John the Baptist. In Luke 7 and 28, Jesus himself said, I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it says, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. John the Baptist, greatest prophet the world has ever seen, according to the words of Jesus Christ. But then he made a statement right down in there. He said, But he that is least in the kingdom of God is even greater than John the Baptist. And I said all that to say this, if John the Baptist stated this statement, he must increase and I must decrease, how much more should you and I, that may be the least of the kingdom of God, be having the same attitude and the same mind frame of this great prophet of God, knowing that Jesus Christ has come on the scene and it's time for his greatness to disappear, because someone else has come on the scene, the Son of God, the Son of God. Now, Brother Branch has kind of made already a reference in his message to some things, you know, that I want to try to cover and talk about this morning, the reality of training that one that's underneath, preparing them to take over. Praise God. You know, that's something that sometimes pastors have a hard time doing, because they're afraid, believe it or not, because they're afraid of change, believe it or not, because they're afraid their greatness might disappear. I've always said that I expect my preachers that are under me to preach better than I do. It doesn't bother me when they preach better than I do. That just lets me know then maybe I have done something I needed to do. Hallelujah. Because that's the whole purpose of the ministry, is not that it can be the ministry, but that it can minister. Hallelujah. And bring up men and women in the ranks. Hallelujah. Because number one, it's not my church. Number two, it's not my ministry. Number three, it all belongs to him, and he can do with it whatever he wants to do with it. Hallelujah. But the only way that is going to happen is if in my ministry and in this church is if I can maintain reduction. If I can maintain decreasing that Christ may increase, decreasing that others may rise up to meet their potential. You see, if I'm always doing it, they never will. You'll find me in a church service when the Spirit of God moves and there's a message in tongues. I can interpret tongues. God has used me in that gift. But I will not immediately interpret. Why not? You interpret tongues, God uses you, because I want him to use somebody else. Never going to have anybody else be used if I'm always the first one to be used. And it's not that I don't have the interpretation. I just know there's others that need to step up. I know there's, what is that? That's decreasing, that they might increase. You want greatness in people, then you're going to have to decrease. so they can increase. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to have to maintain a little reduction. Hallelujah. In our lives. And John the Baptist found this out. And he even got a little down and out about it at one point in time in his life when he got thrown in prison and persecution came up to that point. Everybody said, he's a great prophet. He's a great man. He's the one that has the word. And he did. Jesus said he did. But then when it came time, where'd we find him? He's in prison now. The greatness is gone. Not in God's eyes, but in the eyes of men. I mean, see, doesn't the Bible tell us our life is but a vapor? I'm only going to be here for a short period of time if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, but this work is going to go on. This is not my work. It's God's work, and he's putting me in charge of it right now. Doesn't mean I'll always be in charge of it. Hallelujah. If I get bound in the spirit, Brother Branch, and I need to move on to something else, then I'll have it in good hands. I'm confident of that. And I'll move on. Hallelujah. Or I'll stay, and I'll just participate. Strange thing in my life, in our ministry here, I have to work from time to time. Right now, one of my bosses is Lucas Sanders, and the other boss is Jason Pepper. I don't have a problem with that. I need the money. Amen. And I'll do it how they want it done. I think they got enough confidence in me, they can just point me at it and they know I'll get it done. Praise God. But I don't have a problem with that. I know a lot of preachers, they couldn't do that. I couldn't work for someone that's, you know... Well, you better get over that if you really want to be used by God. You got to maintain some reduction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Reduction. Hallelujah. I mean, it's already been shared, and this is what I'm talking about a little bit earlier. It's already been shared, all the story about the Apostle Paul and the reality of where he was and how he was so high esteemed. And I mean, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. It's already been shared. But now he says, when I'm weak, that transformation, that reality, that decreasing that God can increase, hallelujah, and yet I'm still after maintaining that reduction, hallelujah, not just having it at one point in time, but maintaining that reduction. It's an attitude, it's a mind frame, it's how I look at the situation of maintaining reduction in my life, so Christ can be lifted up and be exalted. This scripture has already been shared, maybe even several times. I am crucified with Christ, Brother Chambers. I nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life now which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What I'm after here this morning in this message is to bring the generality of this scripture right down to where the rubber meets the road. That's a terminology that we coined in our first pastoring of our church at Good Hope Church. I mean, just when it got to the point where we just didn't talk about it, we started putting it into application in our everyday life, where the rubber meets the road. Hallelujah. And this is where maintaining reduction is most important in the Christian's life and in the minister's life. Is not in the pulpit. It's not in the altar. It's out there when you meet people face to face, whether or not reduction is there, hallelujah, so you can present Christ and not yourself. Hang on with me here. Hallelujah. Every day, Brother Chambers talked about sanctification, instantaneous and progressive. Amen. It's both. When you get saved, you're sanctified for God. Now you're bound by the Spirit. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're walking with God. Now that becomes a daily effort to walk with God and not when things are going good. I heard a little illustration. You may have heard it. You may have used it many, many times. It's the test to see whether or not you're full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can be full of the Holy Ghost behind the pulpit, Brother Gans. You always usually are. Spirit of God's moving. You can be full of the Holy Ghost in your prayer altar. Because that's where you're getting filled. Hallelujah. That's where you're encountering God. I mean, that's where you're moving mountains. Hallelujah. In that altar, in that time of prayer. That's not the test of being full of the Holy Ghost. Not how long you can pray. Not how loud you can pray. Not whether or not you're even praying in tongues. That's not the proof if you're full of the Holy Ghost. The proof of being full of the Holy Ghost of God is when circumstances or situations or people press you flat against the wall. And all that comes out of you is the love of God. Then you'll know you're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, we can't judge by the prayer. We can't judge by... Why? Because the Holy Ghost is helping us do all that. The Holy Ghost is there. I mean, when we kneel on our knees and we bow our hearts, the Holy Ghost is there. Hallelujah. When we step behind this pulpit with the Word of God, the Holy Ghost is there. When our hands are lifted up in praise and worship, the Holy Ghost is there. But when that adversity meets me face to face, the Holy Ghost is there. But if there is not reduction, then I will respond wrongly. You see, that's the whole thing where the church is missing the mark. We have men, we have women that pray. We have preachers that preach. But what we've got to get is men and women, hallelujah, that are bound in the Spirit in the midst of adversity or people that offend us. Woo! Amen. Purposing in our hearts. It was brought up, Brother Branch brought, I'm glad you preached what you preached this morning. It made my preaching a whole lot easier. Hallelujah. You brought all the info. Now I can just hit the high points. Hallelujah. I mean, but it's just like the Apostle Paul. He was before kings. But he had the greatest respect and esteemed those kings greater than himself. I think that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do, esteem others greater than ourselves, and that's not limited to the church. Oh, yeah. Here Paul is standing before a vile, wicked man. Most noble. Woo. Whoa, wow, what is that? Reduction. Reduction. Oh, decreasing. That he might increase. Hallelujah. Letting the world see Jesus Christ is not necessarily what I say. It's what I do and how I treat them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to our God. See, gleaning things from other men. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, one of the greatest men that has really got a handle on reduction that I know is a man called James Martin. I've gleaned a lot from Brother Martin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Instruction in children. I've gleaned a lot from Brother Martin, Sister Martin, when she was living. You see, you can glean wherever you want to glean if you really want to have reduction going on in your life. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, that hallelujah lifestyle, is a lifestyle of reduction. Hallelujah. A lifestyle of putting everybody before yourself. You know, that we talk about not living after the flesh and walking after the flesh. And a lot of times, not all the time, but we start thinking about fornication and adultery and all kinds of lasciviousness. But did you realize just being offended is walking after the flesh? Yeah. Christ was never offended by anyone that said anything to him. I was told, I do not remember who told me, but somewhere along life's way, they told me, Brother Pepper, if you're going to pastor, you're going to have to develop rhinoceros hide. I thought, do what? Oh, yeah, because folks are going to say things about you. Folks are going to do things to you. They're going to complain about your preaching. I mean, they'll always have something that just, you know, not everybody's an encourager. And so you're going to have to develop rhinoceros hide and let it not get inside of you. Keep it all out there where it belongs, because you need to be bound in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You need to have reduction going on. Hallelujah. You see, all these things got to be like a well-synchronized engine. Hallelujah. Praise God. You just can't leave one out. You know, you just can't emphasize on one and neglect the other. It's got to be that well-synchronized engine. I was talking to a gentleman just the other day, and, you know, we just think all motors are the same. Most people do. You know, you got a 4-cylinder, you got a 6-cylinder, you got an 8-cylinder. But did you know that you can take a motor and change just a few components, and that motor that only put out 200 horsepower can now put out 700 horsepower? He was just telling me about a motor that a friend of his gave to him, because he had built the motor for the man to put in a race car, and he had used it one time, and it sat on a shelf. And he'd run into it and say, you know that motor you built for me? You can have it. Just a $12,000 motor. Just a motor that put out about 700 horsepower, you know. And then he actually, he's my cousin, and he said, yeah, I talked to your brother, and I said, maybe you want to put that in one of your grain trucks. Burn the tires off in the green truck. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, you know, you can get synchronized to a position, and then that's where power begins to operate in a believer's life. Hallelujah. Is when you get the synchronization of being bound in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Being filled with the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind or the right attitude. Now, sound mind does not mean sound doctrine. Sound mind means you're thinking the right way, hallelujah, about your sound doctrine, hallelujah. You're not high and lifted up and elevated and elite because you know so much. Because you know so much, you put yourself at the bottom. And that's why Paul made that statement, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because he knew so much. Oh, wow, he knew so much. I mean, he knew every in and out of the Old Testament. Then he knew how to take every in and out of the Old Testament and put it right into the New Testament. And then he got to go to the third heaven. Hallelujah. He doesn't say it was him. I believe it was him. Got to go to the third heaven, saw things that he could not utter. And now he can't talk about it. Wow. Wow. How could you handle that, Brother Chambers? Could you not talk about it? Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, you not talk about it. Wow. Did you know that's a gift of the Spirit of God, not to talk? For those that talk too much, the Spirit says, shush. Those who don't talk much, the Spirit says, talk. Woo. That well-balanced machine running, knowing when to talk, not to talk, how to talk, the right attitude, hallelujah. It's all part of the kingdom of God. It's all about maintaining that reduction, putting Christ up elevated, and I'm coming down. Not only just putting Christ high and elevated, but putting other people high and elevated, and I'm coming down. Hallelujah. And maintaining that reduction, hallelujah. Praise God. And so, you know, it's, you know, once again, Brother Branch brought it out, Acts 16, 6 and 7, how Paul was just ministering and the power of God was moving. But yet Paul was in such a state of reduction that when the Spirit of God said, don't go there, he didn't go. Wow. Praise God. But I want to go there. Oh, see, once again, I personally don't have a problem with going too much. Mine is not going enough. Mine is always, I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. I don't know if I want to do it. I'm not always outrunning God saying, catch up, Lord, catch up, God. Here we go, here we go. And God's going, back here, buddy. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's not my temperament. My temperament is, whoa, let's wait a minute here. Let's look at this. Let's survey it. Let's figure it all out. I mean, we're going to analyze it from the right to the left. Then we're going to analyze it from the left to the right. And then we're going to look in the middle. We're going to look at the top. We're going to look at the bottom. And God says, go! That's Brother Pepper. You're right, Brother Gans. Hallelujah. That's me. Hallelujah. I mean, when I come up to a situation and this has gotten me, and I'll just, you brought it up, I'm going to put it in the message. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, when I first started pastoring, it was a problem. Because Brother Pepper is a Mr. Fix-It. Brother Pepper takes it, looks at it, analyzes it, says, here's the answer, now do it. You can't deal with people like that. Especially people that are not Mr. Fix-Its. Not everybody can take that, and I lost some folks because of my harshness. You know the problem, fix it. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. It's not even that easy for Mr. Fix-Its. No, it's not that easy for anybody, but that becomes a mentality, and you got to reduce it. Reduction. Hallelujah. You got to give people room to grow. Hallelujah. I mean, what? Put a tomato plant in the ground and then put a bucket over the top of it and tell me what's going to happen. Woo! You got to give people. Help me, Jesus. I was talking to an individual one time and he was very upset about a situation. And I made this statement. Just step back. Give him room to grow. That man got so mad at me. He said, that's ridiculous. That's not what I want him to do. Where's your reduction? Give them room to grow. Praise God. I'm glad I got some room to grow. I may have never grown. You got to have room to grow or you won't grow. So give them that opportunity to mess up. Hallelujah. Now, you know, being a Mr. Fix-It, a carpenter, Brother Gans, how many times have you done a project, you looked at it and said, man, I should have done that different. Guess what? Next time, you do it different because you realize your mistake. You realize, oh, I could have done this different. And as a child of God, it's no different. Hallelujah. There are times we make choices and we think we're going the right way just to find out, oh, wow, I missed that one. I should have not went that direction. I should not have said that. How many times have you tried to have a reach out there and grab them words to try to pull them back? What's going on? Lack of reduction. Lack of reduction, lack of decreasing. You know, it's not a matter of the lust of the flesh here. Maybe it's a matter of the pride of life. See, you know, the flesh is made up of more things than just lust of the flesh, so to speak. It's the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, always having to have it my way. What is that? That's the pride of life. Always having to have it my way. How do you respond when it doesn't go your way? Do you throw a fit? I mean, that's just Oklahoma terminology. You know, what happens to the children when you tell them no? A lot of times they throw fits, and then it's time for training and time for teaching, time for spanking, and it's just part of the process. Amen? Did you realize the Lord chastises us because he loves us? And that's why sometimes things don't go our way. Because he's wanting to see how we're going to respond if they don't. Do you always have to have it your way? Even in the ministry? Hello? I'll just share this with you this morning. I guess I'm the one preaching, so I can. Praise God. You love this vaulted ceiling? You like the color, the black? Wasn't my idea. Wasn't my idea at all. My idea, I was coming in low profile. I was coming in, just leave the ceiling flat, just leave the lights the same. I just want to get in here and have church. That was my thought on it. That was my mind frame on it. Brother kind of walked up beside me and said, you know, if we're going to do this, we probably better go ahead and do it now. We're just going to have to believe God for it to happen. That wasn't my idea, Brother Chambers. I listened to those that were around me to help me overcome my fear. See, I didn't want to overextend myself. I just wanted to get in here and maybe just be in here. We'll do all that later. I am so glad they didn't let me have my way. I am so glad that they just wouldn't leave me alone. And then the color, black. So let's do it. Projector? I never had one before. I kind of like it. How about you? Praise God. I like them speakers hanging from the ceiling, too, instead of standing on a pole over there on the side. I like that. You know, ideas that really weren't mine. Hallelujah. Praise our God. See? You got to learn to decrease so others can increase. I told my family, told my boys and my daughters, I said, we carried the load of the first pioneer operation. I said, this is the second phase, and you're carrying it this time. Hallelujah. So, who got the lumber? Pixley Lumber donated $4,000 worth of lumber that I'm standing on and this wall's erected in. Hallelujah. Sheetrock, lumber, decking, nails, liquid nails. I mean, they just said, yeah, what do you need? And pow, there it was, $4,000 worth of materials. I'm going, wow. Praise God. It's nice to know people in high places. Hallelujah. And sometimes all you got to do is ask. Didn't expect really that much. And then different ones, different things have done. Scissor lifts were allowed us to use from Brother Shelton's place of employment. They let us use a scissor lift for a little while. And then Bruce Parks let us use a scissor lift for a little while. And why? Because we were doing all this stuff. My, it would have been murder to do it without it. But we had committed to do it. And my, it was a job. Oh. But I'm glad it's done. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm glad that we went ahead and did it, even though it wasn't my idea or my plan. Praise God. I had to do a little reduction there and just let God move. And the ones I said were in charge of doing this. Yeah. I'm glad. Hallelujah. I am glad. You see, that's how I was raised up. That's how I accomplished what I accomplished. Veteran Center Ministry, Nursing Home Ministry. Brother Mullah said, go do it. Never done that before. Go do it. Praise God. So we went and done it. Hallelujah. Lord's thing about it, we're still doing it today, Brother Gans. Brother Shelton goes into the Veteran Center down there in Claremore. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's still going on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. It's a matter of reduction. Maintaining that reduction. And I got to move on here. I've got a lot. All right. It's already been shared. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What was the fight? I mean, he wasn't wrestling against flesh and blood. He was wrestling against principalities and powers of the air. What else was he wrestling? It's already been preached. He had fought a good fight. Reduction. Decreasing. When I'm weak, that's when he's strong. When I don't have to have my way, that's when God can have his. Hallelujah. When I can hide myself behind that cross, even when I've been put on that cross with Christ, I've got to hide myself behind that cross as I'm living in this world. Hallelujah. And I've got to decrease that he might increase. I've got to decrease that others can increase. I'm sure you've learned just as well as I have, you know, just because someone's born again and saved and washed in the blood, they can't necessarily handle all the knowledge you have. They can't take bucketfuls sometimes. They need teaspoons sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is that reduction? Reduction. Hallelujah. Bound in the Spirit. knowing when to speak and knowing when to be quiet. Hallelujah. It's just the reality of the reduction, of decreasing, that Christ can increase, decreasing that others can increase. Hallelujah. So now I want to move to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Wow. Now, what word is usually taken from that scripture and preached on every time you read that scripture? Holiness. But what words are first? Follow peace with all men. Hallelujah. Your relationship to mankind. How you treat people. Hallelujah. Because if you don't treat them right, you're not going to see God. Hallelujah. It's just a reality. It supersedes, or it came before, holiness. Hallelujah. The reality of how I act, my attitude towards people, how much I am reducing myself so others can grow and blossom and be all they can be for God. Hallelujah. Because actually, ultimately, that's what brings in the holiness. Because I'm out of the way, and if I'm out of the way, then the only thing left to come in is God's holiness. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then that following peace with all men, treating people right, treating people fairly, keeping your word. There's no greater tarnish to a Christian testimony than not doing what you said you would do. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you preach. You don't treat people right, you ain't got it. You just ain't got it. Now, Brother Pepper, that's a little harsh. That's a little rough. It is. It is. But it's the truth. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. There's another word in there, isn't there? And spirit. My attitude. Once again, we think filthiness of the spirit is thinking of lustful things. That's our automatic default. But your mind has more capabilities of just lust. That's where selfishness is housed. I mean, that's where self-will abides. Is in that mind, and filthiness of the mind includes thinking wrongly about other people, thinking wrongly about circumstances and situations. I mean, where do you think gossip comes from? People thinking wrongly in their mind about the situation, thinking they know more about the situation than the people involved, and never taking one thought to go ask those involved to see what really happened. Woo, hallelujah. What is that? That is cleansing that mind, that spirit. And what is that? That's perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. We always stop with our definition of holiness instead of going to the depths of the holiness of God. Hallelujah. In every fact, we're back to that synchronized engine running, at full capacity. Hallelujah. To run the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and the finisher. In other words, the guy that's working on us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who does not leave us nor forsake us, doesn't leave us like he found us, and doesn't leave us like we are. He's always taking us to greater reduction. Hallelujah. Because that's what it amounts to. That's what sanctification is all about. Less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of others. Hallelujah. And so we see then maintaining reduction then does take the powerful prayer at the altar, takes being in the presence of a holy God, but then taking what God does and making sure I'm doing it out in the world with everyone that I meet. Wow. Praise our God. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. That's treating people right. A lot of people think righteousness is me doing good. Well, you ain't treating people right, you ain't doing good. Sorry about the ain't. That's just part of Oklahoma. Praise God. Hallelujah. But follow righteousness. Follow faith. I thought we were supposed to be full of faith, but now we're following faith. Wow. There's so many aspects. Such a vastness. Charity. Peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's one thing to be tested by a sinner, but it's another thing when the saints of God become your test. And God's not looking at what they did. He's looking at how you respond. That's the hardest thing for Christians to grab a hold of. But you don't know what they did. But you don't know what they did. God's not looking at what they did. God is looking at how you respond. Did you reduce? Did you still esteem them greater than yourself? Because there's no stipulations on God's word that I have found in this, in relating to this. It doesn't make any difference what somebody else has done. What are you doing with what God has done in you? What are you doing with the power of the Holy Ghost? What are you doing with the love of God? What are you doing about a sound mind of responding rightly? Wow. Woo! Maintaining reduction. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. Anybody know what that scripture talks about? It talks about the number one thing as a child of God that we are gotta have. For without it, we're nothing. Yeah. Whoa. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity. Those are some very, very harsh words, in my opinion, of the Apostle Paul. But yet the Apostle Paul knew 100% about it. For these were things that he could have boasted about, bragged about that he had. But that's not what counts in the kingdom of God. What counts in the kingdom of God is reduction. Reduction. Putting others before ourselves. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for mankind to do. It's the hardest thing for Christians to do. Sometimes it's the hardest thing for Holy Ghost-filled Christians to do. Hallelujah. Because just because you're Holy Ghost-filled, you still always have a choice. God has never taken choice from mankind. And no matter how much power may flow in you on Sunday, how much power is flowing on Monday when you meet the world face to face. Whoa, God of heaven. Hallelujah. Reduction, reduction. So here we are. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And then he gives us what charity really is. Because charity has no connection really to speaking in tongues. I mean, Paul said, though I speak in tongues more than y'all, but there's a right way to live. Hallelujah. Woo! Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not. Do you realize these are all things that somebody's going to do to you? And charity is the factor that helps me respond correctly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow. That hallelujah life, woo, is a life filled with charity. Hallelujah. And because the charity is there, there will be praise, there will be prayer, there will be moving with the Spirit of God, bound in the Spirit, hallelujah. The cross will be preached, hallelujah, because it is the only hope, hallelujah. It's the only hope for me, and it's the only hope for the world, hallelujah. Because it's the cross is what helps me see I've got to decrease so he can increase. I've got to decrease so others. I don't know about you, but what I have encountered the most is a bad taste in people's mouths about holiness people that are self-righteous and look down upon people that are not of their realm. I've encountered it personally. Brother Pepper looks totally different when he wears a cap. I was in this building when it was the dollar store. I came up behind an individual that was checking out in front of me, and I just stepped up behind him, was standing there. And this individual turned around and just kind of glanced at me and just gave the awfulest smirk and rudeness, you know, for no reason. I was just standing there minding my own business, and she was trying to corral something or something there was not going well for her. And she's turned around looking at me and just like, oh, you know, I knew her. So I'm standing here just waiting, you know, until she takes a second look. And then she sees it's me. She said, oh, Brother Pepper, I didn't realize that was you. Oh, really? You mean you treat other people different than me? I didn't say that to her, but I thought that, you know, that's not right. But that's what's been allowed to get into the minds of people who have great knowledge of holiness. They think they're better than people who know nothing about it. And they're not. We've all been saved by the grace of God and the charity of God. It's not a strange thing that God would ask of us foremost charity in our lives, because that's the foremost thing that he's given to our lives. Hallelujah. And to those have been given much, much is required. Hallelujah. We just can't go through life flighty thinking we are on the way to heaven. And I'm so glad. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. But I can get so heavenly minded that I'm neglecting my earthly walk. But I can get so heavenly minded that it totally reduces me and I walk the way I'm supposed to walk. Hallelujah. And so we see then it's all about attitude. My attitude towards God, my attitude towards men, my attitude towards me. See, we can actually fall prey to criticalness so easily and so swiftly. When people don't do it like we do it. But I've got to learn. Not everybody's me. And so I've had to learn not to expect people to do it like I do it. But I've got to let them do it how they do it. And that's when God uses them. Praise the Lord. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One coming on. We've got 5, 6 preachers in this church. Not one of us preach the same. Not at all. But we all preach God's word. Some use illustrations. Praise the Lord. Some use history. Some take it verse by verse. Some take it topic by topic. For me, I'm just a smorgasbord. I can do it any of those ways if I you know. But my normal way is just what I've just done here for you today. Take God's word, run right down through it to show us this is what God wants us to do moment by moment. That's why there can't be sanctification that is forever, and you never have problems with the flesh, I've never found anybody. I haven't. I've never found anybody that gets it right every time. I haven't found that man. Well, I take that back. I met him. I live with him. His name's Jesus Christ. But any man on this face of this earth, we have a tendency to forget what God's done for us. We have a tendency not to treat others as we want to be treated. We have a tendency to just fly when things don't go our way. That is the tendency of mankind. But the tendency of those that are bound in the Spirit, I love that message. That was tremendous. The tendency of those bound in the Spirit, I couldn't help but think of that song, wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Hallelujah, bound. The Bible says every thought in captivity to Jesus Christ. Wow, if you don't think before you speak, you're not fulfilling that. You're not. And then after you've thought and you don't speak, you're still not fulfilling that. Hallelujah. You got to bring it. It's got to all come into captivity. Maintaining reduction is what brings this to pass. You've got to be mindful of it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to eat the king's meat. He had to consciously make that effort to do what it took to try to refrain from that. Hallelujah. We can't be unconscious, if you follow what I'm saying. We can't just go with whims. That is not how God operates. God is precise. God has the plan already. This is the hardest part for men to get a hold of the plan of God, because God's timing is never like ours. Hallelujah. And yet then when God moves, here's what you have. This building, this facility, this church, 417 6th Street. I mean, we were going to build over there. Had free dirt. Hauled in, still piled in the backyard. Those that are looking at the building to turn it into daycare loved the pile of dirt. The previous ones looking at it said, what are you going to do with that pile of dirt? These people say, oh, that would be great. The kids can play King on the Mountain. Well, they won't have to move the dirt. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But we didn't build over there. Thought we were going to buy around the corner. Didn't happen. What are you going to do? Just going to maintain reduction until we find out. Because I knew what I heard. You just know. God said it's time to go bigger. It's time to go bigger. So then our wheels begin to roll. Okay, then we must need to build. Well, that didn't roll out right. We just didn't know as priests. Oh, we don't always know. We know the directive. We don't always know how it's going to play out. Wow. But I do know that the way that it went that way for a purpose, a plan, and a reason. Hallelujah. God is so good. And that's why I want to strive to maintain reduction. Sometimes things frustrate us, Brother Gantz. Sometimes they do. And what we have to do is get unfrustrated. Praise God. Amen. You know, you got mad in those shoes that you're wearing. Now go ahead and get glad in the same shoes you're wearing. Because it was your choice to get mad, so now make it your choice to get glad. We always have a choice. Praise God. Hallelujah. So then keeping and maintaining reduction then depends upon my choice. What I choose to do in the given circumstances that I face, on a day-by-day basis, because not everybody's going to do right. Not everybody's going to act right. I'm not going to act right. I'm not going to do right. So I'm going to have to make sure I make it right. Yeah. It's called an apology. Have you apologized lately? Why not? Because I know you've probably offended someone along the way. And if you offended someone along the way, you should have come up with an apology if you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. I trust you're getting the picture here. I mean, you know, full of the Holy Ghost is not how excited you are about God. Filled with the Holy Ghost is not just how hard you can preach or well you can preach. Full of the Holy Ghost is when the rubber meets the road and you do the right thing at the right moment. And if you do wrong, you make it right. You apologize. Hallelujah. You know, you walk through the line, they give you an extra dollar and you're changed. They don't know you did it. What do? Praise God, I got a dollar. No, that's not what you do. You turn around, you walk back in, say, you gave me a dollar too much. What I have found is they'll say, keep it. When you do what's right, then you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And when people don't do you right, you still do them right. You just take it and go on, knowing God will take care of it. Woo. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Attitudes, everything, church. Maintaining reduction. Praise be to our God. Let's